Blog Talk Radio.
President Obama released his tax returns. It turns out he made $900,000 less in 2011 than he did in 2010. You know what that means? Even Obama is doing worse under President Obama. So that can't be good. Well, in an interview with The Atlantic, that magazine, President Obama said he prefers Jay-Z to Kanye. That's what he says. Did you know Obama was a fan of hip-hop? Did you know that? In fact, he has his own rap nickname, Biggie Deficit. That's his
nickname. Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb in white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Welcome back to the show, folks. It is Tuesday, tax day, April 17th, 2012. And for all of you out there, you know, finally finalizing those taxes, I can only say I feel for you. Had to file mine a long time ago. Whether or not I'll be getting anything back, who knows, damn it. I may or I may not, but I ain't telling. Okay, I may get something back. I worked for a little while in 2011, so I expect to get some. I expect to get something back. I'm expecting to get a little bit back. The question is when the hell am I going to get it back? Because it doesn't look like it's going to be happening anytime soon. IRS says they're going to be bogged down trying to get people their money back. I don't know when it's going to happen, but they claim that it will. I don't know. If it does, I hope it happens soon. For the rest of you,
one, two,
what can I say?
Four,
you know what
one,
I mean.
Two.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
Right, the tax man. Probably one of the only songs that I think is really, really groovy by the Beatles, the tax man. Everybody plays it every year, and I had to take my opportunity to get in on it. A lot of news today, a lot of stuff going on in the news today, of course, about taxes and prostitutes, and everybody's paying. But this is something I thought that I had to bring up. And the reason why I had to bring it up was because, although many of you did not catch it, I had a conversation with Silky Slim, who is a Sunday host over at a radio station, 94.1. It's actually called Max 94.1 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I talked a little bit, if not extensively, about our good friend Bill Cosby. And talking about Bill Cosby, hold on for one second. Is that Sade in the background? Thank you. Anyway, the bottom line is that Bill Cosby is back in the news. And everybody's talking to him about what I don't know, other than the fact that I know he's supporting Barack Obama. So they brought out the big guns. brought out, you know, very, very calm speaking, very consistent, very thoughtful, Bill Cosby. And Bill Cosby was on Meet the Press, and he was on a couple of other shows, you know, on the liberal, you know, media fronts, and they love Bill Cosby. I don't know who doesn't, except for another fool-ass Negro named Torre, who is the racial commentator over at MSNBC. Now, I got to set this up, because, of course, you know that this is related to the Trayvon Martin case. And so they asked what they thought is a, you know, a thoughtful person like Bill Cosby. Do you see any racial implications here? Because Bill Cosby's not the kind of guy, he's not inflammatory. He doesn't scream racism from the rafters. So, you know, he may be a partisan guy, but he's not the kind of guy that you can't have a conversation with if you're on the other side of the fence, so to speak. He's the kind of guy everybody wants to engage in conversation with. And you can enjoy that. He'll make it funny and make it sort of, you know, inspiring at the same time. So that's what makes Bill Cosby Bill Cosby. That's the reason why he relates to everyone. He's the kind of guy who shows his partisanship, but he doesn't offend, if you get my meaning. You know, he's not out to inflame. He's not out there to vilify. What a lot of people do know is that Bill Cosby's son, Innes, was shot and killed in a botched burglary. So he looked at the Trayvon Martin case from a perspective that was very personal to him. So in speaking to David Gregory from Meet the Press, he answered the questions about Trayvon Martin and his shooter, George Zimmerman.
It's about the gun. It's about this gun. Guns in our country. I know that when you have a gun, you may not realize it, but you put it on your person and you mean to pull this and kill somebody. If you're walking, whatever, because you have this power and you have this thing on you, it heightens what you're supposed to be looking for.
Now, Bill Cosby's only wrong about one thing. I mean, he's probably wrong about a host of things. But he says that if you are carrying that gun means you intend to shoot someone. And that comes from his perspective because he has a son that was murdered. And that's it's a hypersensitive issue to him. So he believes anybody with a gun is out to shoot someone. Now, again, I don't have an issue with that, nor would I. I have no issue with that. But Torre, columnist for Time Magazine, and a race expert, on MSNBC, he responded this way when he was asked about it on MSNBC.
MSNBC contributor Torre, I should point out that Bill Cosby says he once owned a gun but no longer does. He says there is a need to get guns off the streets and that people should be taught to use every possible alternative before shooting someone, taking someone's life. What's your take on
that? Absolutely, I agree with all that, and I appreciate the brother probably has a different perspective than many of us because he lost his son to gun violence. So we must be respectful of him, important person in the community in America for a long time, respectful of our elders. But this is a very dangerous sentiment, and it's not at all true. Yes, it's a gun situation, but it is absolutely a racial situation in that Trayvon Martin was clearly profiled as a criminal black man, as if those two things are synonymous in America, by George Zimmerman. That's why he pulled his gun and used it on Trayvon. And when a person of Bill Cosby's stature comes out publicly and says, it's not a racial issue, it's a gun issue, it gives fuel to all those who misunderstand the situation and want to try to argue it's not about race, and that I and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are making it about race when it's not, and he's giving fuel to those people to say, see, look, even Bill Cosby agrees with us.
Now, you see the condescending tone that Torre has here? He's made up his mind. This is a racial issue. I don't know George Zimmerman from a hole in the ozone layer. But he has already surmised that George Zimmerman is a racist. And anybody who thinks otherwise, they don't know what they're talking about. And he uses the word dangerous in describing what Bill Cosby says. He says it's dangerous what he says. Because if people start saying, hey, Bill Cosby agrees with us. Did you want to add something, JC?
No, I'll let you finish. I have my thoughts
Okay, all right. No, because I'm not done. Oh, no.
Continue on, please.
I have more clips to play. That's just the beginning of Torre. I've got 3 to 4 more clips on Torre and this interview. So he says that what Bill Cosby says is dangerous. He says, see, Bill Cosby agrees with us. And so Torre's threatened that guys like Bill Cosby, who has more stature than a guy like Torre, who's nationally, if not globally, recognized, will then calm the racial divide. That's why it's dangerous. Now, when would it ever be dangerous for Bill Cosby to come out and say, listen, guys, I need you to not focus on race. This isn't about race. This is about guys with guns. Because the gun is more violent than the racial overtones. And that's Bill Cosby's position, not mine. We can't tell what's in a person's mind. And Bill Cosby's smart enough to know we do not know what's on George Zimmerman's mind. But any suggestion is enough for someone like Torre. And as you hear what he says, is that we know that George Zimmerman went out there to racially profile this black man because he identifies young black men with criminality. Let's move on. Now, Torre says that Bill Cosby's entitled to his own opinion. But listen to how he says that Bill Cosby's entitled to that position.
Why can't Bill Cosby have his own opinion? Not all black people think the same.
Surely he can have his own opinion. But to say that
But you said
not,
it was dangerous.
Well, but it is dangerous. I mean, he can have his own opinion and have a dangerous opinion. It is not correct to say we can just drain race out of the situation. It's just a person with a gun shooting another human being.
But that's his perspective.
I'm not disagreeing with that, and I'm allowing him to have his perspective, and his perspective is dangerous, and saying that it's not about race is clearly incorrect, that we don't have a rash of people profiling innocent young white men walking down the street talking to their girlfriends on the phone and saying he must be a criminal and then attacking them and shooting them. That's not happening. It is happening to black men.
So he's now saying that we're not having a rash of people being profiled who are white. This is only happening to black men where they are being shot. That you hear the recklessness here. He's saying that we have an epidemic, in essence. His words. And I'm paraphrasing. We do not have that where white people are walking down the street talking to their girlfriends where they're being profiled. We only have it happening to blacks. And therefore calling Bill Cosby's statements reckless. And dangerous. Now, here's how he justifies that statement that George Zimmerman did racially profile. This is how he sums it up.
I can't speak for Bill Cosby, but I can say, what if he looks at you and says, you are dangerous because you have now said George Zimmerman profiled Trayvon Martin, which is to be determined in the court of law now that he's been arrested and charged. And according to prosecutors, they say he did profile Trayvon Martin, but this is all to be determined by a jury of his peers, and we're going to watch this play out. So Bill Cosby, he could say the same thing about you.
I mean, we hear the profiling. That's not conjecture. He sees somebody in the distance who's doing nothing more than walking down the street on a cell phone. And he decides this person's on drugs, this person is a criminal, this person is threatening and to be feared. So that
Those are the charges.
That is, well, that's what George Zimmerman says. So that is profiling. There's no, I mean, he's not going to see a white person. We don't have an epidemic of people seeing young white men and assuming that they're criminals. We do have an epidemic of the world seeing black maleness as synonymous with criminality. That's not true.
Now, I did jump ahead of myself. Now, you hear this, right? He's saying that George Zimmerman said that Trayvon was on drugs. Not true. He says that George Zimmerman suggested that he was committing a crime. Not true. George Zimmerman says he looks like he's up to no good. He's just walking around. In what way is he suggesting that he's committing a crime? George Zimmerman never says that he's committing a crime. But Torre says he said it, which is a mischaracterization of what happened. I want to play the last clip, because this is the one. This is where I say people like Torre must be stopped. You know, he's going to have his Time Magazine podium. He's going to have MSNBC. But when I say he must be stopped, he must be stopped from doing this. It has to be put to an end. He has to be checked. Somebody's got to check him.
Bill Cosby is an extraordinary American. He's extraordinarily talented. He has an amazing effect on my life, on many lives. But in terms of nuanced political thinking, he has not shown himself to be a big fan of that. And he has quite often said things that put him into the category of, with friends like these, who needs enemies? I mean, like, he's repeatedly talked about a lack of morality in the black community, as if we don't teach our children morality, as if we want to go to prison, as if that's some badge of honor. That is not the way things are in the black community.
But Bill Cosby is not anti-black. What are you saying?
I'm saying that he has on several occasions said things that are extremely negative, paternalistic, and rather misguided about the black community, as if we want to go to prison, that's a badge of honor. That is a great mark of shame for many, many people. It's not something that we want to do. When he talks about parents not teaching their children, black children, morality, that is just simply not the case. I don't know what community he's talking about. And then we come to this situation where he's saying, well, it's not about race, it's just about guns. It is about both. And surely this does not happen if this individual does not see a black person and pour stereotypes into him as if he is a criminal black man.
So there you have it. He says that he has a paternalistic view. Now, for anyone who's never heard that term, paternalistic, it's very simple. Speaking from a fatherly role, that's unaccepted by the masses. In other words, someone forcing their father-like opinion on others. Very paternalistic. He knows better than the rest of us. And so they hate Bill Cosby because he refuses to play the game. He refuses to play with them. He's got so much stature, he could really be an asset. He even says, bottom line, with friends, he's in the category of with friends like him who needs enemies. In essence, Bill Cosby is an enemy to the narrative. He's one of the most positive, if not the most positive, black celebrity in history. But he won't fall in line. Come on, Negro. If they'll listen to anybody, they listen to you. Oh, you said it's about the guns. Damn. Come on, Bill. Again? What we got to do? Now, JC, I'll let you chime in.
JC, are you even there? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm
here. It makes you hate Torre, don't it?
Oh, my God. Whew, this guy pisses me off so bad.
How can he not?
Listen, Torre is a nappy-headed, middle-of-the-road BET reject who made a career out of dividing this country with mm-hmm. that little, with what little influence that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Torre, who minutes ago, speaking to young black intelligent children on BET, and at the same time, and in the same breath, force-feeding them with the hip-hop filth that he now sometimes speak out against. You know, because he had a position where he now has a position where he can really step in and fetch it as a race professional.
Yeah,
is that what they're calling him?
He is their racial professional, which only means one thing: Torre can find racism in anything. That's all MSNBC. A racial professional, a race professional, is somebody who can find racism in anything. And there's a crew. He and Michael Eric Dyson, they're the two leaders of the crew. They are Step and Fetch It.
And he's a racial professional, yes, in a Keep a Negro Down liberal media.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like MSNBC.
It's him.
And what race should he be a leader of? He should be a leader of the moonwalking race, because he did more backpedaling than Michael Jackson ever has.
No, listen to me. It's him. He and Michael Eric Dyson. They are the Step and Fetchits of racialism. And let me explain to you what I mean. But these two will step and or fetch any idea or any situation and turn it into race. And that's who they are. I mean, literally, they are a two-man show.
You won't hear a damn thing out of him when it comes to jigaboos and wannabes. Let's talk about that racism, Tori. With the racism that we have in our own backyards.
He'll never discuss that. No. Tori doesn't communicate with gangs. He doesn't communicate with drug dealers. He only communicates to the intelligentsia, liberal elites at Time Magazine and MSNBC, promoting a narrative that has nothing to do with anything much more than how are we going to turn this into a racial issue. And the only reason why Tore has the pulpit or the medium, so to speak, is because they know they can pull him in when they need somebody to drum up that narrative about Barack Obama. When somebody says something negative about him, that he can find some sort of racism in it. That's the reason why they have Michael Eric Dyson. You saw these guys few and far between before the election of 2008. Now they're everywhere.
Everywhere. You're right. I mean, and not only that, but Torre's out of touch.
No, he
gives you that vibe that he was that kid that could never fit in with the in crowd. He shows signs of someone that was bullied. You know what I mean?
No. If you listen to him when he talks, he goes, "This is not." He says words like "not." Listen to the way he speaks. He's like, when he talks about, hold on, let me get number four.
Is it Caribbean?
I don't know what it is, but listen to the way he talks.
I can't speak for Bill Cosby, but I can say, what if he looks at you and says, you are dangerous because you have now said George Zimmerman profiled Trayvon Martin, which is to be determined in the court of law now that he's been arrested and charged. And according to prosecutors, they say he did profile Trayvon Martin, but this is all to be determined by a jury of his peers, and we're going to watch this play out. So Bill Cosby, he could say the same thing about you.
I mean, we hear the profiling. That's not conjecture. He sees somebody in the distance who's doing nothing more than walking down the street on a cell phone. And he decides this person's on drugs, this person is a criminal, this person is threatening and to be feared. Those are the charges. That's what George Zimmerman says. So that is profiling. He's not going to see a white person. We don't have an epidemic of people seeing young white men and assuming that they're criminals. We do have an epidemic of the world seeing black maleness as synonymous with criminality. That's not true.
It's amazing to me that he would take this hard stance on guilt as a media personality. And not say, look, it doesn't matter what the prosecutor says. We need to find out what it is. But he keeps promoting this whole thing as if, you know, he has all the evidence in this case. The only thing that he knows is that Trayvon's dead and that there was a 911 call, and he's made his mind up. And I want to know what it is about this whole case that Torrey knows better than anybody else. That's all I want to know.
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Zero.
Well, he fails to realize at the end of the day, he's still a brother.
All they need is
the next Brian Gumbel to walk up in the network's office, and he'll be back over on
the highfalutin
Negro Network.
He is praying to be the next Brian Gumbel. He wants to get a hosting gig so bad.
He's annoying.
I know, but as far as I'm concerned, listen there, buddy, you're only going to be Martin Bashir's bitch, pardon my expression. That's all you are. You're Martin Bashir's bitch. That's all you're ever going to be, Torre. Okay?
You can walk up to five people in the hood and ask them, who is Torre? Well, ain't that Pookie and him cousin?
No, they don't know.
He is Martin Bashir's
bitch, and he is Lawrence O'Donnell's whore. There, I said it. Okay?
Punk ass.
All right? Exactly. All right?
Tore.
That's it. These guys host the show. You're nothing more than a fill-in and a contributor. You know? And I've been a contributor before, and I've been a political analyst, and you're a bitch. And no more.
Bitches.
I'll tell you that right to your face.
Punk.
You are nothing more. Nothing is worse than watching you come in and promote these liberals' bullcrap narrative. Like their little boy coming on in and say, come on in, boy. Tell them how they're racist. Well, thank you, master. Sorry, Corey.
No. Eat that chicken and watermelon while you tell that story.
Exactly right. You know, Torre, there's chicken in the green room. You know that's my favorite. More pizza. We'll take a break. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, ranch dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in the...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome back, 32 minutes after the hour, it's Reese on the Radio. On this tax day, April the 17th, 2012. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to stun at least Mary and JC, and it may even stun some others. I just sent a memo out to the Daily Caller, that's thedailycaller.com, and our good friend Matt Boyle over at the Daily Caller. And Reese on the Radio is officially at war with the new Black Panther Party. And I'm not kidding. This is not some tongue-in-cheek stab at the people at the new Black Panther Party, but we've got a problem now.
What happened?
And when I say we've got a problem, I mean myself and Mr. Sean Quali, you and I, my man, you and I, we have a problem. And I'm letting you know right now, you can check this out anywhere you want to. We've had you on the show. We've enjoyed your company on the show. We've had serious debate. We talked about you, your cause, your bounty, your self-defense, the rhetoric. We talked about it all. But you went too far this time. And, you know, I never ever repeat this phrase, so let me break this down to you. You'll never ever hear me say, God rest the dead, or God bless the dead. I never ever say that. Like, if I mention something like about my grandmother, I won't say, you know, oh, you know, I was thinking about my grandmother the other day, God bless the dead. I don't do that. You want to know why I don't do that? Because I think saying that is disrespectful, because I keep their memory alive. They are not dead to me. They may be dead, but their spirit lives in me. Now, if you're baffled by what it is that I'm saying here, I want to make sure that I make this abundantly clear. You and me, we got a problem. And you and I are going to have to settle this man to man, because you stepped over the line. Because you can be engaged in any disagreement with anybody. I'm engaged with disagreement with all the time. You just heard me call Toure from Time Magazine a punk and a bitch and a whore. And if Torre's ever got something to say about that, he knows where to find me. And I know Torre. I've met him. I've engaged with him. I don't fear him. I can back what it is that I say up. But see, you did something to somebody who can't defend themselves. And the way that you did it was so cowardly, my man, that I've got no respect for your organization. I gave you a smidgen of respect. No matter how much you were radicalizing this whole issue with Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, but you stepped over the line, my man. And you're either after going to come correct or we're at war. It's that simple. So I will play this audio back. You can catch it on MRC TV. You can catch it here on Blog Talk Radio. And I will be sending it to you so that you hear it from my own mouth. I'm not hiding behind the microphone. You have my cell phone number. You can reach me, brother. So I'm calling you out and your organization out. You can disrespect anybody you wish to, my man, but you never disrespect a man who can't defend himself. And that man is Andrew Breitbart, brother. Now, I have a personal affection for Andrew Breitbart. That man is very, very instrumental to who it is that I am. And I'm not going to fight his battles. There's no need for me to do that. But you stepped over the line. Because what you did was cowardice. In order for you to be a strong black leader, you never, ever do what it is that you did on your show. Never. I'm not even going to play the audio of what you said, so let me just break it down. Andrew Breitbart should rest in piss, my man.
Wow.
Andrew Breitbart should rest in piss, my man. I got no respect for you. That's dead. And then when I called you about it, then when I contacted you about it, you've given me no reply. So you've clearly shown me that you're a coward. Because you must face the music on this one. You have to face the music on this. And I love how it is that you suggest that Michelle Williams, your chief of staff, she didn't apologize? Is this what it is that you said?
There was some talk about some apologies going around. I want to clear that up. We didn't apologize. But Michelle didn't apologize. Ain't no apologies. Just stop trusting your slave master so much. Every time something come across the radio station or the TV, stop taking that for the truth. We are revolutionarily unapologetic for the stances that we take in truth.
You're unapologetic, you say.
In my words that I had to say out of anger, will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melody. Let it be my time to address this issue with America, that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killings.
The chief of staff of the...
Stop it. I can't even play anymore. She didn't apologize, man? She wasn't even there boo-hooing it? Revolutionarily unapologetic? And then you go on a coward's mission and you say Andrew Breitbart could rest in piss because they exposed you? Because somebody challenged you, my man? The whole idea about being here when you have strong opinions is to be challenged. So Breitbart.com, and whatever it is you think, Breitbart's not here to defend himself. Breitbart is dead, unfortunately. But you want to go after the Breitbart organization, go after them. Go meet up with them. Go challenge them. Go have a dialogue with them. If you don't agree with what it is they have to say, have the balls to confront them. My man. But what you did was a punk move. You'll never approach the people at Breitbart. Why don't you go call Sean Hannity? Come on, you're a tougher man than him. You got the black beret on. You're dressed in all black. Come on, Sean Hannity plays tennis. I'm pretty sure you can give him a good thumping. I think if you got to get into it and to defend yourself, I think you can handle old Sean Hannity. You see, you don't want to engage in dialogue. You know, Michelle Williams said not too long ago she's not the type of person to throw a rock and hold and hide her hand. So you threw a real, real big stone when you went after Andrew Breitbart. And he's got soldiers out there, man. And unfortunately, you didn't know this, but I'm one of them. What you said was reckless. Now, if you want to really, really see a stone throw, I don't throw stones, man. I don't throw stones. I call you out and I let you know what is. And it is on. I'm going to do everything in my power to rip apart your organization. There's no more dialogue here. No more dialogue here. Let's set the record straight. The new Black Panther Party is finished. I'm going to climb into the little nooks and crannies of your investigation, and I'm going to rip it apart at its seams. You're going to really, really understand the meaning of black-on-black crime, my brother. Seriously. So when the word gets out to you, you'll give a call, you'll rabble-rouse, you'll scream, you'll holler, blah, 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 blah. But I can't let you slide on this one, my man, because you stepped across the line. Well across it. There will be no next move. I'm not waiting for your next move. I've already begun. So don't come at me with this whole, we don't apologize. The chief of staff has already flat out just said that she's sorry. She boo-hooed on television. And it went viral. Your organization has just been insulted. And your chief of staff, my man, chief of staff, ended up looking like a clown, kowtowing to your so-called honky pig cracker enemy. And I was giving you a pass just out of kindness. But that's done. Because Andrew Breitbart didn't do anything to you but expose you and give you the exposure you wanted. He didn't put any narrative on any one of the audios that he played. He said exactly what it is that you said. That's all he ever did on his website. He gave you the exposure you never, ever had. The reason why people are talking about you nationally is because of people like Breitbart. That's the reason why Hannity is talking about you on his national show. It's the reason why people know you exist. But you don't like to be challenged. You don't like anybody to challenge you because you're not engaging in dialogue. You're a bomb thrower. And what you did was reckless. And it's called reckless hate. Come on, man. Think about that, man. Andrew Breitbart, rest in piss. He's got two young children, brother. Would you expect anybody in the Black Panther Party to accept that from anybody who said that about you? Would that be acceptable? That's all I'm asking. So you're going to have to either come out and apologize. And you know what? No. Actually, no, you don't. You don't have to do anything. I recant that. You don't have to do a thing. Sean Quali, the new Black Panther Party, you don't have to do a goddamn thing. You don't have to do anything. You can call up the show whenever it is you like, and we'll definitely engage in dialogue on you. But I'm coming with fire. No coal, no matches. I'm coming with flamethrowers. There is no longer any decent dialogue with the new Black Panther Party. I don't care where you are. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. I intend on making you feel like that poor little punk kid that nobody picks for basketball. Dead serious. So when I declare war on you, that's it. Everything you say goes through the grinder. Anybody else want to chime in? Go ahead.
You are fired up.
JC, you got any commentary?
I'll let these motorcycles pass.
What's that?
I got loud motorcycles outside.
Oh,
right
no,
now.
That's all right. I apologize. I didn't mean to pull you in while you were trying to get rid of audio problem. But can you believe this dude, man?
Wow. That's, wow. I mean, I'm no fan of Andrew Breitbart's either, but I would never, ever make such a comment.
I could. I'm stunned by it.
The man had family, children, loved ones that love him, and to say something like that is wow.
Like, what has he done to you? The attention you've been getting today has nothing to do with the man. It has to do with his organization that bears his name. You know what I mean? If you want to go after, if you want to go after Ben, if you want to go after anybody, you want to go after Larry O'Connell, if you want to go with any of those guys over at Breitbart, you want to go after any one of them independently, you can go right at them. Call them any name you want, go directly at them. But Breitbart in no way has been responsible. Andrew Breitbart has had no way been responsible for the attention or the negative attention, for that matter, you've been getting. You're on the national stage and you have not been able to articulate any one of your positions when you've been on the news. The reason why you guys had interviews with Anderson Cooper. The reason why you've been talked about at nauseam on Sean Hannity. The fact that Bill O'Reilly, the guy gets 3 to 4 million viewers a night. The reason why you are reaching those masses is because of Andrew Breitbart's website, who brought attention to you and your radicalism. Nobody would even know you were there if not for them. And so instead of attacking what it is that your narrative is, you say the man can rest in piss. And I have, again, I've got a hard line issue with that. Because you would never ever be satisfied with anybody saying that about one of your dead loved ones, especially when they're not remotely responsible for the heat you've been getting. Just stand up and defend yourself like a man.
What gets me is that they should have taken the heat that they were getting and use it to their advantage rather than basically lose it because they don't have the knowledge or the skill to maintain the heat.
Exactly.
Which people were talking
have,
about them.
That's right.
But on the same token, it's like, who's listening to them anyways? I mean, they may have a chuckle around the office when the comment's being made, but who's running out buying the papers but other Black Panther Party members?
Probably so. On the line with us, of course, is Kool-Aid Man, and I apologize. I can't even call you Kool-Aid Man today. James, I don't know. You came in kind of late, man. I flat out just declared war on the new Black Panther Party.
Oh, what happened now?
Well, he went on his own radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and he was talking about, you know, don't believe the white man this, the white man that, and he was upset because Andrew Breitbart's website, Breitbart.com and Breitbart TV, has been exposing him for the stuff that he's been saying in relation to the Trayvon Martin case. And he talked about Sean Qualley, his own voice.
But he's exposing himself.
That's exactly what he's doing. That's what he wants, right?
You meant to to market yourself. That's
exactly
what you did.
Exactly.
You marketed yourself. You wanted people out there to know about your establishment.
Right.
You wanted
your movement.
Exactly. You wanted African Americans to come and join together as one so you could make your own legal system.
Right.
Have your own laws.
Right.
It was time for the white man to stop oppressing you.
Right.
You were preaching that. No one else was. Someone else heard that, got wind of that. It ended up on Breitbart TV's website. Is that how? That's how it got started.
Yeah, that's pretty much Breitbart.
So,
Breitbart.tv.
That's what you wanted. That was your end. It went from Breitbart to, you know, all the way to Bill O'Reilly.
Right, and then all you have to
talk about you every night. You're talked about every night, and what you're talked about is in a very negative manner.
And you should be able to defend it.
And because you come off in a very negative manner, unfortunately, what has happened is you haven't gotten the you haven't gotten the response from your own people
that
you
wanted,
expected, and that you wanted. And now you're going to try to downtrod someone else because of your mishap.
But he's talking about, and James, just to let you know what he said. He said Andrew Breitbart can rest in piss. Andrew, why is that funny, dude?
Rest in piss?
That's not funny,
tonight.
Dude. If Andrew Breitbart is dead, man.
He is fired up.
Andrew Breitbart is dead, and Andrew Breitbart is not responsible for the scrutiny that Breitbart TV brought to Sean Qualley.
But Breitbart is not. Nobody at Breitbart is responsible for that. Sean Qualley is.
Exactly.
And the new Black Panther Party. You
why
wanted
would he be...
this. This is something that you wanted. You got it. You wanted it in the beginning. You wanted it for a purpose. Now your purpose is not being fulfilled as quickly or in a timely fashion that you thought it would, which I don't think it ever will. I don't think people are going to just come out and start following your movement because it's just craziness. You've discredited yourselves. You know, I mean, we sat here and we had a very, you know, a very good conversation. I'm not disrespecting you. It has nothing to do with that. But you put yourselves out there. Now you can't turn around and degrade someone else. This, you know, this man is dead.
The man, a man who's dead has got no responsibility to the issues that have been brought up. The only thing that happened is that you're out there screaming, cracker, cracker, kill, kill. And you get scrutinized for it, and you got a problem with that? You have a problem with the fact that somebody might be offended by the words that you use? You go out there and you stand your ground, and you explain yourself in a consistent way about why does you believe that. But then instead of doing that, what do? How's anybody going to respect you after this?
If my words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue, let it be my time, Melody. Let it be my time to address this issue with America that we say enough is enough. We can't have any more killing.
We can't have any more killing. And now we're supposed to take you seriously? And then you got the nerve to tell people not to listen to the words of your own chief of staff? Your own chief of staff is out there talking about how she literally is apologizing, but now you're telling people to disavow the comments made by the own chief of staff.
There was some talk about some.
Let me play it.
There was some talk about some apologies going around. I want to clear that out. We didn't apologize. The Michelle didn't apologize. Ain't no apologies. Just stop trusting your slave master so much. Every time something come across the radio station or the TV, stop taking that for the truth. We are revolutionarily unapologetic for the stances that we take in truth.
So now they're claiming they're unapologetic, but how am I supposed to believe that?
They are revolutionarily
unapologetic.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, how are you a revolutionary making stabs at a dead man who's got no responsibility for the scrutiny you've been receiving lately?
And how can you sit here and say that you're that don't take her words and we are not apologetic? Yet, well,
so
I'm sorry for what she said.
His freedoms are not shared by the Black Panther Party.
Well, but she still no. They have not.
They've not disavowed any relationship with her.
They still have a relationship with her. She's still, as far as we know, to our knowledge, she is still holding the same.
It gets crazier than that. She's on the Fox station in Tampa, Florida, in a roundtable discussion on the Trayvon Martin shooting against a guy who's for gun rights. Like she's all dressed up with her hair did. With a nice little necklace around, you can still see her chest tattoos, all dressed up. She literally, I swear to you, she looks like Oprah 1994.
I gotta see it.
Okay? This is the person they're claiming is unapologetic, and she's doing TV appearances and roundtable discussions like she's a panelist.
I can't believe they let somebody's letting her on, like, as if she's the panelist. I mean, she went crazy. She had two major breakdowns.
Let's give her the credit.
You know what I mean? In 2 days.
She's a panelist.
Yeah, right? I'm trying to figure out. Of course they're giving her. Of course they're giving her the platform because the network down there wants to make this a racial issue. They like the fact that she's a radical, but she's asked for their forgiveness. Please forgive me. That's all they want. They only want, and that's the worst part about this. It reminds me of that classic line in "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker." The brothers walked in with guns. They came out with jobs. The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey, it's something else. You remember that?
Yes. I remember that. It still makes me laugh. But once again, you know.
And my words that I had to say out of anger will make the American people address this issue. Let it be my time, Melody. Let it be my time to address this.
There was some talk about some apologies going around. I want to clear that out. We didn't apologize. Sister Michelle didn't apologize. Ain't no apologies. Just stop trusting your slave master so much. Every time something come across the radio station or the TV, stop taking that for the truth. We are revolutionarily unapologetic for the stances that we take in truth.
On the phone with us is, of course, our resident gun carrier and Floridian, Derek Adonis. I know you want to get in on this one.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable, you know. But like I said, the new Black Panther Party has no juice, man. So, you know, they just make a lot of noise. That's,
Yeah, but Derek, would you settle? I mean, would you in any way whatsoever? And, you know, again, you know I have the utmost respect for your dad. If anybody had said that line, I can't even attribute that to your father, so I apologize. But if anybody had ever used those words about your loved ones, may they rest in urine, dude.
Man. Look, you know, like I said, they just make a lot of noise, man. I discount anything they say. I was even upset when they came down here and even got involved in the discussion about the Trayvon Martin case. You know, 'cause, come on, what positive do they bring to the argument? Nothing. You know, they don't represent, you know, black people, decent black people at all. They don't. So, you know, I don't understand why they get any type of airplay at all. You know?
They get airplay because they know that there are people out there who are just as radical. You know, Louis Farrakhan, another one. You know, that's the reason why they bring them out there, because people need to know that there are those out there who are screaming this radicalism. And what they're doing is that, you know, unfortunately, they're pushing that narrative. And there's some people out there who are agreeing with them. And they don't know how reckless and irresponsible they are when they charge these people up. You know, if they get the right ear, somebody, sure enough, is going to pull out a gun or a knife. Or they're going to be out drinking or be out partying or being out just rabble-rousing. And something is going to ignite. And these sons of guns are going to be in the middle of it. They are going to be the genesis of it.
I hope no one's stupid enough to, you know, follow these people down here.
Oh, come on, man. It's like asking, I hope my nephew ain't stupid enough to ever sell drugs. You know what I mean? It's like it's not one of those things that people, you know, I hope my boy don't get arrested. You know what I mean? That you can't wish on hope.
The thing that you worry about is if they do ever get influence over young black people. That's what you worry about, because older black people look at them and know they're fools. They have nothing to do with the original Black Panther Party, you know?
Nothing. Nothing.
At all. at all.
And it's disgusting, I'm telling you.
They've already quantified that. It's the new Black Kindergarten.
Which makes them morons anyway. Let's take a break. When we come back, kindergartners are arrested and placed in handcuffs for flipping out in the principal's office. Should they have done it? We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb. It was quite a snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And we're back, top of the hour, 2 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. I am Reese on the Radio. Mary, Mary, why you bugging? Derek the Bounty Hunter. Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery. And, of course, JC the producer, who's got motorcycles in the background. I don't know what that's about. Actually, I want to play something interesting for you guys, because I know I got Kool-Aid Man and I've got the Bounty Hunter on the line. So I want to play this clip. And although it's supposed to be humorous, this is actual fact injected into humor. So I want you to hear it. And don't get mad at me, okay? All right? Do not come after me. Do not blame the, you know, don't kill the messenger. But this is interesting. Just listen.
President Obama released his tax returns. It turns out he made $900,000 less in 2011 than he did in 2010. You know what that means? Even Obama is doing worse under President Obama. So
that's pretty foul. That is pretty foul.
That's
President
hilarious.
Obama released his tax returns. It turns out he made $900,000 less in 2011 than he did in 2010. You know what that means? Even Obama is doing worse under President Obama. So that can't be good. Well, in an interview with The Atlantic, that magazine, President Obama said he prefers Jay-Z to Kanye. That's what he says. Did you know Obama was a fan of hip-hop? Did you know that? In fact, he has his own rap nickname, Biggie Deficit. That's his nickname.
All right, so I know I'm going to get it, but I'm not going to put them on the mic yet.
That's
so
hilarious.
It's funny as hell. Speaking of Jay-Z and Kanye West, talking about rappers in general.
Come in.
Hold on 1 second, please.
Sorry.
Anyway, talking about rappers, I did an article on ReeseOnTheRadio.com, and you need to check it out. Because everybody appears to be talking about the whole issue with Mitt Romney having too much money. Now, Mitt Romney is worth some upwards of $200 million. Now, being worth $200 million, having this house in California where he's building an elevator for his car... People have suggested that because he is so rich, he is out of touch with the average American. Now, I brought this point up yesterday, and I need to address it, and I need to have this conversation. And if you go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com, you'll see the top article. The top article is this simply, are they too rich to relate? And it has a picture of Jay-Z, 50 Cent, and P. Diddy. Now, Jay-Z is worth a whopping $450 million, according to the last report out by Forbes magazine back in 2010. I apologize. $450 million. Now, he's probably worth well over a half a billion now, considering what? He just had an album out with Kanye West. He just did a tour. And, of course, he's got the 40-40 clubs. So I'm pretty sure he's worth a half a billion dollars now. But would poor people say that Jay-Z can't relate to them? I mean, look at the young people who listen to his music. Does Jay-Z not relate to them? P. Diddy. He sold his, well, he didn't sell his organization, but he owns Sean John. And what does he do with the Sean John organization? Well, Sean John has the exclusive rights to outfit the host of the NCAA tournament, which takes place for, what, 2 months? So he is the official clothier of the host. When you see the host sitting up there talking about,
and, you know, Kentucky, they may be able to make it into the Sweet 16 this year.
Yes, those guys are wearing Sean John suits. And he is making a crap load of money while he is doing that. And his net worth is somewhere over $200, $250 million. And we're not even going to talk about the money that 50 Cent made off of the deal with Glossier, which was purchased by Coca-Cola, because that single deal, the single deal to sell that Formula 50 was a $200 million sale. So my question is Jay-Z, 50 Cent, and P. Diddy too rich to relate to the average person? Because if that's what it is that we're basing a presidential election on, wealth, doesn't that mean that we have to start saying Oprah can't relate to regular people? Oprah does a television show and runs a television network that is supposed to be viewed by the average American. But Oprah's a gazillionaire. Can she not relate? How is she supposed to relate to the average television viewer if she's got so much damn money? So that I ask. Let's bring in the guys.
Take this shit over here and say, okay. Hold on a second now. Every one of these people that you talk about, well, with the exception of Oprah, okay, we talk about the three rappers.
I think we all got
okay?
the same question.
Okay. The three rappers there?
Yes.
Okay? They were all regular people 20 years ago. Okay? 20 years ago, Mitt Romney was a rich boy. Okay?
Was different. A rich child. Okay. He was a rich
different.
Child.
Different. Okay? Now, all right? Like I said, you know, within a generation, okay, they were living the regular people's lifestyle. Okay? So I feel that, you know, okay, now, don't get me wrong. Now their stuff is, you know, oh, hey, shit, they're rich, you know. But, oh, excuse me for cursing. But, you know, but like I said, you know, at one point, you know, I just look at the way I look now. You know, when I look in the mirror, okay. Now, the way I look now, sometime in the last 20 years, they were regular people. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, of course, they you know, their fortunes have taken off.
Wait a minute, but they're out of touch.
Romney has not been a regular dude his whole life, man. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't. All right,
well, what's
let's
a regular? Wait.
Okay, let's put it like this. Jay-Z grew up in the Marcy Projects. Okay.
Wait, hold on.
You remember my homeboy Ray, right? We came that got drunk with us that night and we had to sit there and we from the recovery.
Derek, yeah. I have to stop you. This is what I'm saying. Listen to why I got to stop you. Okay? You said that Jay-Z was a regular guy because he lived in Marcy Projects. Are you telling me that the average person is from the projects?
No, we don't. Mitt Romney ain't from the projects. Okay?
Wait.
But
first of all, both of these guys came from two separate spectrums of the wealth. Mitt Romney came from a wealthy father, Jay-Z
yes.
from a single parent household. But hold on,
yes.
the word yes, average. Hold on, the word average means in the middle. So Jay-Z was nowhere near the middle. So Jay-Z can't in any way associate himself with the average person because he's never been average. He was extremely poor and on the other end, he's extremely rich. In fact,
yeah, exactly. But you know, let's face it. At one point in his life, he did grow up on food stamps, dude.
Wait. Okay? How is that average? He is not average. In no way can Jay-Z identify with the average person.
What?
See, I said. No. See, you listen to what I said. I said average. You have to take it for what the definition is. The average person, what does average mean? At a median. A median. And in no way was Jay-Z, 50 Cent, or P. Diddy at a median. Actually, that's not true. Sean P. Diddy Coons was at a median because he went to LaGuardia. He went to college.
He went to high school away, dog. You know, you remember Ray. Ray will pull out a high school picture with that dude, man.
I know,
you know
but that's
saying?
My... P. Diddy's P. Diddy's the only person that came from a middle class background. He lived in Chelsea when he was a child. But 50 Cent and Jay-Z, they came from the poorest common denominator. They were not average.
Hold on, let JC go in.
Go on, JC.
Well, the biggest problem with that whole scenario is Jay-Z, Diddy, or 50 Cent, none of them are running for president.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, that's not true. Hold on now. Even though that's true, they're running for president. But again, what they do generally is they reach out to the average individual. And you can't say that music. Hold on.
You gotta be kidding me with this.
No. Let me explain. They have to sell products. They work in the business world. It doesn't matter whether or not they've ever been nominated for a public office or they're going for one. The problem is that I'm asking this. If you want someone to be the president of the United States, do you want someone who is not only wealthy but knows how to maintain his own wealth? Or do you need the average American who's had a regular job and only made a couple of $1 million? The guy's shown no long-term success. The guy's not owned businesses and turned them into multi-millionaires.
Doesn't show any long-term success.
I don't think we've ever had a broke president that was ever broke at one point in his life.
Hold on. Harry Truman.
And Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln didn't even lights in his house.
Okay, but back then.
You
didn't
count
then,
those votes.
Yeah, hold on, though. Because back then, all right.
Dude, Harry Truman retired on his honor bachelor, bro.
It leads into the way the race is run nowadays. Back then, you could have your next door neighbor, okay, and a couple of people got together and said, okay, we're going to nominate him. Now, if you're not rich, if you can't afford to run, it doesn't matter if you're the right man for the job. It doesn't matter if you can do the job better than anybody else.
But if you can't afford to run...
You don't get anywhere.
But James, but that being said, right now the country is in probably one of the most fiscal declines, even according to President Obama. We are in the worst recession since the Great Depression, but Depression, although that makes no sense. Hold on.
Time out.
Wait.
Remember when you came down here to Florida with your family and everything? I thought you said that and told you were the one that told me that recessions don't matter. So what the hell you said over here telling me about recession,
on,
man?
About
that came out of your mouth, man.
I know you. Let me finish. What I'm saying
I'm glad I'm not the only passionate one.
My point is that with all of that being said, is that what we need is somebody who can be fiscally responsible. Now, if I have to look at the fiscal dire straits of the United States economy, and I'm going to look at a guy who was a community organizer, who was an academic all of his life, he went to Occidental, he went to Harvard, he went to Columbia, he's never run a business, never, in fact, called working in a corporation, his words, not mine, working in a corporation behind enemy lines, and now you got a guy who's run Bain Capital, a guy who's run organizations, bought and sold corporations, saved the Olympics as a business. The man has got a proven fiscal record and is worth $200 million of his own money. And I ask you this, who's better suited for the position? And the only thing you hear the media talking about is whether or not he's too rich. The point
dude,
is
got,
that...
Hold on.
I got to cut you off for a second. Let me just finish my point, and then you can argue all day. My point is this, okay, is that Mitt Romney has said hundreds of times. It's not so much about how much money I have. It's to ensure that the American people can prosper in this economy. I know how to do it, and I want to make that opportunity available to everyone else. Obama's stance on this is, let's take money from the people who already have it and give it to the poor. He's not promoting prosperity for all, because that's what everybody wants. If you were to ask everybody in here, what would you rather have? Not what is. What would you rather have, prosperity or handouts? You know that everybody would normally ask for the opportunity to be just as wealthy as those they see up there being wealthy. And Derek, you have to say, who has got the better plan for that to happen? Is it Barack Obama or is it Mitt Romney? Who's got the better plan or who's got the better ideas to make that happen?
Dude, I don't know about the Republican plan. I'm serious, man. Their plan has not worked out. I mean, seriously, they got the economy. They took the ball from Clinton and ran everything into the ground. And
not
I'm supposed
true.
To let these people get back in charge?
Not
you
true.
You've got to be absolutely kidding
not
me, man.
Not true. And I don't want to have to give you a civics lesson again. The economy tanked after 2006, and you know it, right?
Who was in charge, dude?
Again, I'll tell you who's in charge. Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, man, dude, no. Nancy Pelosi wasn't the president, bro. All right? I didn't vote for Nancy Pelosi, man.
Excuse me, Derek.
All right.
Hold on.
She was not the president, man. She was not
the
president.
Who runs the purse?
Okay, I remember back in 2006. I think you were down here on that vacation. You know, we were talking about the gas prices being so high, and you were like, if you can't afford the gas, you shouldn't drive. Remember
that's
that? Right. I remember that came out of your mouth too.
All right, you're on hold. James, go ahead. Community organizer who just wants to redistribute wealth, or do you want somebody who's going to at least make it prosperous for you?
I want somebody who actually represents me, all right? I want somebody who's actually been out there who can say that, you know what, you say he's been an academic all his life, okay? But in academia, all right, he had to either work or subsidize his food and his living space. He had to pay bills. He had to work.
Wait.
I want somebody who's actually been through it. Are you going to let me answer the question?
James, being a president is running a business. He's the CEO of the country. Where has Barack Obama been the CEO of anything?
Really? Because I hate to say this, Reese, but you know what? If that was the case, then why didn't you vote for Ross Perot? You hated him.
I can't say I hated him.
He was a man who worked all his life, gathered up, ran a business, and was successful most of it all of his life.
Yeah, but when
and
he got
wait a minute, Reese, hold on. Because you said yourself, just because he had run a business doesn't mean he can run the country. So how are you now saying the opposite is true?
You people.
Well, let me finish. I'll tell you the reason why I didn't like Ross Perot. The reason why I didn't like Ross Perot is because he got wackified and crazified at the end of the campaign when he was talking about how George W. Bush was planning on assassinating him, and he started talking about aliens. He completely, went nuts and
but you didn't like him. But you didn't like him before that.
You're right. I never liked him. You're absolutely right. I never liked him. His likability was low for me. But you know why? Wait.
His likability was low for a lot of people.
But you know why I supported Herbert
Walker? His likability was high. No,
I supported Herbert Walker. Hold on. Can I finish? I supported Herbert Walker Bush because of Ronald Reagan. That's why.
And Herbert Walker Bush, his businesses failed.
What businesses failed? And you're talking, if you're trying to talk about George W. Bush and his involvement with the Texas Rangers are still here.
Texas Rangers? Wow.
Yes, that's right. That's the company he owned. He was a former owner of the Texas Rangers. And they did not fail. Oh, okay.
Well, he definitely knew he was a pal of Manuel Noriega.
Oh no, he wasn't. Derek, stop it.
Oh, you never seen that HBO the Showtime miniseries on Manny Noriega? Through three quarters of the show, he's like, "How's my good friend George Bush?" Which meant that George Bush was, yes, he was in my country knocking down plenty of women, just like those Secret Service agents were.
All right. Inflammatory, but now you're just a conspiracy theorist. All right, let's take a break. I promise when we come back, goodness gracious, why do we have him on the show today? He just called in to be a part of it. Good job, Derek. Anyway, we'll be back. When we come back, kindergartner in Georgia, handcuffed. Was it a good idea? Oh, wait until you hear what I think. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in
the new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's...
He's talking about my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com.
That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, it's 26 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It's tax day, April 17th, 2012. Did you file your taxes already?
I most definitely did.
Well, when did you do it?
Probably the second week of January.
Oh, wow. Wow, you did it early.
I always do.
I'm always stunned by people who do, you know.
Well, I do my own taxes. It's not, I don't.
Oh, you do your own?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't have any major assets. I don't have anything like that. So
you just file them yourself.
I file them myself.
You're not nervous like most people?
No. I know what I'm doing.
Okay. How long have you been doing them yourself?
TurboTax.
Probably over 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anyway, hey.
As a matter of fact, all my life, I've never had anybody prepare my taxes for me.
Oh, and you've never been audited. Oh, that's good.
No, I wasn't audited. No, I wasn't audited.
Well, that's good.
I did have to pay the IRS the money back because I made a mishap, but...
How much?
I think a little over $1,000.
How much?
I think a little over $1,000.
A little over $1,000?
No. But I paid them back, so okay. I don't... But do you, speaking of taxes, do you know that there's about 78,000 or 98,000 government employees that owe $1 billion or better?
I know. I saw that today on Drudge Report.
Did that happen on the Obama watch?
Yeah, they're talking about they owe them now. I don't know if it happened on the Obama watch or how long they've been on, but you know,
we'll find some way to make it.
And they're talking about passing some law where if you don't pay your taxes, you can't travel. You can't travel outside of the country. So like,
That can be nice.
If you're in the military, and they want to send you back to Afghanistan, don't pay your taxes, my man.
Oh, don't tell them to do that.
No, but they talked about that. Oh, they talked about how there was all these military people that have, you know, that owe back taxes and haven't paid any taxes. Huh. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Anyway, since we've got Derek the Bounty Hunter out in Florida, Derek, this isn't relatively close to you, but did you hear about...
It probably is relatively close to him. Where is he?
Well, Derek is in Orlando.
Oh. Well,
but there's a story coming out of CBS Tampa. This is actually north of you, where they say that a new ordinance was passed in the city of Weston that has effectively banned all hope of local night... They said they're not going to be allowing new building of dance halls, nightclubs, anything of the sort. And they said it's been due to the gang violence in that area, stabbings and shootings.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
Like
well, I guess that Footloose thing is for real, huh?
Well, it's funny you should say that. That's the type of it says Footloose sequel, Florida City
yeah.
Band's Nightlife. It says where's Ren McCormack when you need him?
Yeah.
They say
wow.
the neighboring towns of Pembroke Pines and Davie still offer dancing and skating for Western residents in search of a good time after the sun goes down. And for children, the school dances will still be allowed, as well as gatherings at the YMCA and extracurricular city parks. But city officials reportedly became concerned after noticing that gunfire, gang violence, gang activity, pardon me, stabbings, and brawls had been occurring with increasing frequency throughout Broward and Palm Beach counties.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, that's near Pembroke. That's just outside Miami. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
No, that's not. That's right outside of Tampa. Or it's in Tampa, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a story.
Pinellas County.
What's that?
Oh, okay.
Pinellas County.
Wow. Right up the street. That's why. I don't understand how they can have all that. Because, I mean, they got some of the best strip clubs in the state out there.
Yeah. The best beaches, too.
Always the way to sleaze it up. Always the latest.
Hey, they dance nude out there.
All right, let's move on.
No, but wow.
Anyway,
in
Milledge Ridge, Georgia, the acting police chief named Dre Swickard said Tuesday that he stands by an officer's decision to handcuff an elementary school student for safety Friday after she allegedly threw a tantrum. This was a girl.
Wow.
Yeah. She said
that her in the picture, though?
Well, no, that's the, I think
that's
the parents. Oh. Those are the parents.
Okay.
Anyway, they said, hold on. They said, meantime, the girl's parents are trying to rally the community for support. The parents say that they're meeting today with local activists and ministers. Oscar Davis Jr., who identified himself as a community activist, said they plan to get attorneys involved, and they plan to contact activist Al Sharpton. Oh, hell.
I was going to sit there and ask you that, was she white or black, but, you know, obviously.
Of course,
you know,
they're black. According to
police, man, you know, those little five-year-old black kids, man, I mean, they're, like, stronger than, you know, the average
this one's 6 years old, so that's a year older, and they're definitely.
Oh, man.
But
man,
hold on, listen. The story is actually, it gets pretty violent. According to the police report, the kindergartner, Celicia Johnson, is accused of tearing items off the walls and throwing furniture. She was crying in the principal's office at the Creekside Elementary before police arrived on Friday. The report says the girl knocked over a shelf and injured the principal. It also says that she was seen biting the doorknob on the office and jumping on the paper shredder. And it says she attempted to break a glass frame above the shredder.
She needed to be tased.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe I'm being honest with you.
First grade, something.
Maybe she needed something that, you know, the original Black Panther Party, you know, had advocated. You know, that breakfast program for kids, you know, before school day starts. You know?
Well, they
now, I think she had enough sugar, man.
Yeah, it says that our policy is that any detainee transported to our station in a patrol vehicle is to be handcuffed in the back.
Oh!
There is no age discrimination for that rule that the Medgeville police chief, Swickard, they took the child into the police station where she was charged with simple assault and damage to property. Because of her age, she will not be prosecuted. Her mother says her daughter was suspended and cannot return to school until August. She's done for the year.
Wow! Wow!
Wow. Well, no, I need to say something because me and Reese a couple of weeks ago, Reese argued me down because I had said that any detainee, I had been told by police, cop after cop after cop, that if you're in the car, if you're a detainee, you're in the car, you have to be handcuffed. Reese, you argued me down on that fact.
Because it didn't happen to me when I was in the back of a squad car on several occasions.
This is the law of this town.
Yeah, it's just the law of that particular town. Now, this is what her mother says. Her mother says, quote...
Apparently, it's been enlarged on other towns as well.
I agree. Anyway, let me tell you what the mother says. The mother says, whose name is Constant Ruff, ironically. She
Constant Ruff?
Constance Ruff.
She likes it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Let me move on. She says, quote...
No wonder she threw a fit.
All right, can I finish? Mother says, quote, she has mood swings some days, which all of us had mood swings some days. I guess she just had one of her bad days that day. She might have misbehaved, but I don't think that she misbehaved to the point where she should have been handcuffed and taken downtown to the police department. Now, my question is...
That is not a mood swing. That is a continental shift. You're fighting... You're fighting...
Well,
I don't want that chick nowhere near me. Cuff her.
Yeah, they said that the daughter's been having nightmares since being taken from school last Friday, and they plan to talk to a doctor about that. I think you've got bigger.
I think you got bigger issues. Yeah, you got bigger issues. And again, you know what? I keep saying that. You know, when we're talking about how, you know, the kids were being pepper sprayed and stuff like that there, all right? Again, here it is. The kids are allowed to throw a fit and do whatever and endanger not only themselves but other people.
Right.
All right? They have to know that there are consequences for this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, her mother says, this is my favorite line, a six-year-old in kindergarten.
Not her mother, this is her father.
Yeah, her father said, I apologize.
Oh,
a
six-year-old
in kindergarten, they don't have no business calling the police and handcuffing my child. My question is this. She's 6 years old. Can't she just squeeze out of them things?
Oh, Lord, man.
Well, no. I mean, they can get them pretty tight.
Or they could use a plastic one.
Yeah, this is true.
But I'm saying, no, what I'm saying is this. Yeah, your six-year-old is throwing things around, all right?
She's biting a doorknob.
She's biting doorknobs, throwing glass,
maybe
kicking
she was,
teachers.
Maybe she was biting the doorknob because she wasn't getting enough iron. Boom.
No, I think she's just suffering from a severe case of the itis, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe reminded of our mother's nipple.
Oh, I don't even know why I even brought this up.
JC, you must have seen what the mother looks like.
Oh.
No.
Anyway, okay, moving on. Okay, I have to ask a question by you guys, and I'll take it.
I had a question for you two at some point before
you're
in the show.
Right after this, you can ask. I just want to ask a question. I want your opinion. Okay. Now, it's obvious that people who are liberal leftists and, you know, support pro-choice, okay? The problem that I've been having lately is that what I've been seeing lately is a lot of people taking the abortion topic to all new extremes. It was reported over the weekend that Sarah Silverman tweeted a picture of herself in what was considered a faux abortion photo. She took one picture of herself poking her stomach out and then another picture of herself slimmed down, sucking her stomach in, saying, hey, just got a quickie abortion. Do you think that this is a little bit over the top?
Look, now, look, hey, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you men trying to sit over here and regulate abortions and all that. Dude, we're not women, man. We can't sit over here and, you know, tell somebody how to run their body, man. That just
I'm not suggesting that we tell anybody what to do with their body. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, as a black man, Derek, brother, knowing that since 1973 that 10 million babies have been aborted, in the black community, you don't have no problem with that.
Dude, there are way too many people. We need to die off.
Stop. Don't believe that. Who taught you that?
3 or 4 billion people. Age is not working fast enough.
Hold on. So you're saying that you support the youth, that you believe the youth.
You know what? Let's put it like this. Hold on a second.
Let me ask you a question. then you support the euthanizing of babies in China. Now, if I remember, you want to bring back old quotes. I remember Eric, who said some 10 years ago, you said that the reason why China was so messed up was because when they started forcing mothers to not have daughters and can only have sons, that it created such a disproportionate between sexes that there was 10 men every one.
You're breaking up your butt. You're cutting out real bad.
That there were 10 men to one woman in China, Derek, and you said that disproportionate gender gap was damaging to the Chinese, and Chinese euthanizes their young. If the woman has a daughter, the government decides to kill her.
Dude, that two-child per family, they need to have two childs, not one child, because, you know, there's not going to be enough women. And in our lifetime, there's going to be a revolution in China. But that's dude, there's going to be a revolution in China. There's not enough women there. But a serious problem. Dude, there's 1.3 billion people. You know, China, all the people live, if China and the United States are about the same size. All the people live basically from the Mississippi to the east. You have 1.3 billion people living from the Mississippi to the east. Dude, there's too many people there. I mean,
actually, they're closer to 1.6 billion. But I would make the same argument about India. India has 1.3 billion people. Nobody's complaining about.
There's too many people there too. They need cable TV in their life. I mean, this is outrageous. What's going on over there? I mean,
yeah. How about just curbing your habit?
You need internet porn.
They got to do something. I mean, because dude, there's too many people over there. And then, you know, like, you, honestly, there's way too many people on this planet right now. I mean, human beings are the world's disease.
What evidence supports that, Derek?
Dude, there's gonna be a massive die-off. Probably not in our lifetime, but in our kids' lifetime. Okay.
We understand that people are living longer. We understand that. The life expectancy.
There's too many people here. One of the worst things that ever happened was medicine and gasoline. You know, because and engines. You know, because before they showed a stat on this. Before 1850, the highest world population at any time was like 2 billion people. Then they invented gasoline and engines and all that crap, and you're able to move food faster and farther, then all of a sudden the population shot up. You know
and
what I mean?
Think that
how many people are out here now? What, 7 billion people? When we were kids it was like 5.5. So I mean it's like in our lifetime, and dude, we're not old. In our lifetime for 40 years, man, 1.5 billion people, man. Dude,
and you think that what they should do is, and you believe that people should just stop having children, and you promote abortion because of that?
Dude, something's got to be done. And then on top of that, you think, remember the whole Casey Anthony thing? Do you know Casey Anthony wanted an abortion and a parent said no? You know what I'm saying? I mean, could you imagine how much, well, just the press coverage alone, you know, that we could have saved down here in Orlando if our parents would have just like
wow, Derek. Wow.
I cannot believe that in retrospect of her child dying, you would promote her killing her child in the womb. As opposed to her dying, unfortunately.
To save money.
Who says he died unfortunately?
According to him, he's saying that it's unfortunate that she died. Well, actually, no. It sounds like he's advocating either or.
It was just an
to give herself a 6-year abortion.
A more unfortunate way than the other.
That's just disgusting. That is absolutely.
There's too many people. Look, man. There's too many people, Reese. There's too many people. Okay. There's way too many. All right. And there's too many people having babies irresponsibly. I'm over here at a friend's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watching the game, all right? Now, I'm trying to move up the road here because I don't want anybody to get upset with what I'm about to say. There's a girl downstairs that I know, right? Two of her daughters have two babies from the same dude, man. I mean, these people could go from Steve Wickles to Maury to Jerry on the same day. They just got to keep going to different different studios, man. I mean,
wait. You're saying that a woman has two daughters and the two daughters are pregnant by the same guy?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
No. One has twins from him, and another one has a boy from him, but she's pregnant now, and the sister's pregnant. So this is about to be five kids from the same damn dude. And hell, he did time in federal jail for bank robbery. So he's gonna be nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, Wilco Springer,
but at least you got to live a fantasy.
About a half hour away from my house.
Well, I mean, I don't got
to
watch
them to it. I can give them tickets.
Hold on, one at a time. JC, say again.
I said Wilco, Maury, and Springer. Are about a half hour away from my house.
All right.
If you can talk them into it, I can get them on the show.
I'm saying, you know what? I got to give big ups to the dude. At least he lives, you know, every male's fantasy. Sisters, come on.
This is absolutely sick.
Wait, Jamie, this is not every dude's fantasy. Every dude's fantasy may be to be sleeping with the two sisters.
But not getting them pregnant.
Oh, wait. Come on. No. Now, look, Mary, I don't know. They may not. They may tell you different, but every man has the fantasy. There's twins. There's mother and daughter. Yes.
Don't even
mother and daughter. It's a fantasy.
So my 78-year-old mama.
Oh, good Lord.
I did the same thing in Panama.
Yeah. Well, maybe not you two, but, you know, I didn't want to say that.
Anyway. No, Margaret.
All right. Okay. I'm taking a break. I got it. We come back, we'll end the show. I didn't even know it was going this far. Bye, guys. Hold on. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos.
She Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue. super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward.
Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio. On the radio, we're back 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Right here on blogtalkradio.com. Tax day, a couple hours and it's over. I heard some places are not even going to be staying open until midnight.
Because they can't afford it. Or at least the post office can't afford it to do it. So that's a complete wrap.
All right, so let's run it down the line. If you missed the show earlier, we talked about my war with the new Black Panther Party, and that is on. Bottom line. Second thing, we talked about Bill Cosby and his statements about the Trayvon Martin case, where he suggested that the argument is about guns and not about race.
It's about the gun. It's about this gun, guns in our country. I know that when you have a gun, you may not realize it, but you put it on your person and you mean to pull this and kill somebody. If you're walking, whatever, because you have this power and you have this thing on you, it heightens what you're supposed to be looking for.
And Toure, the race baiter at MSNBC, didn't like Cosby's words. He was not happy with Cosby's words in an interview on MSNBC responding to that.
MSNBC contributor Toure, I should point out that Bill Cosby says he once owned a gun but no longer does. He says there is a need to get guns off the streets and that people should be taught to use every possible alternative before shooting someone, taking someone's life. What's your take on
that? Absolutely, I agree with all that, and I appreciate the brother probably has a different perspective than many of us because he lost his son to gun violence. So we must be respectful of him, important person in the community in America for a long time, respectful of our elders. But this is a very dangerous sentiment, and it's not at all true. Yes, it's a gun situation, but it is absolutely a racial situation in that Trayvon Martin was clearly profiled as a criminal black man, as if those two things are synonymous in America, by George Zimmerman. That's why he pulled his gun and used it on Trayvon. And when a person of Bill Cosby's stature comes out publicly and says, it's not a racial issue, it's a gun issue, it gives fuel to all those who misunderstand the situation and want to try to argue it's not about race, and that I and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are making it about race when it's not, and he's giving fuel to those people to say, see, look, even Bill Cosby agrees with us.
Yes, so little jealous boy, Toure, doesn't like the fact that Bill Cosby has a global platform. He knows people are going to listen to him, and he is taking the steam out of the racial component of the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. So he doesn't like what it is that he has to say. And let me play the last clip to give you a big breakdown of the animus he has towards Bill Clinton and others like him, Michael Eric Dyson, other race baiters. They don't like Bill Cosby because of his views.
Bill Cosby is an extraordinary American. He's extraordinarily talented. He's had an amazing effect on my life, on many lives. But in terms of nuanced political thinking, he has not shown himself to be a big fan of that. And he has quite often said things that put him into the category of, with friends like these, who needs enemies? I mean, like, he's repeatedly talked about a lack of morality in the black community, as if we don't teach our children morality, as if we want to go to prison, as if that's some badge of honor. That is not the way things are in the black community.
But Bill Cosby is not anti-black. What are you saying?
I'm saying that he has on several occasions said things that are extremely negative, paternalistic, and rather misguided about the black community, as if we want to go to prison, that's a badge of honor. That is a great mark of shame for many, many people. It's not something that we want to do. When he talks about parents not teaching their children, black children, morality, that is just simply not the case. I don't know what community he's talking about. And then we come to this situation where he's saying, well, it's not about race, it's just about guns, it is about both. And surely this does not happen if this individual does not see a black person. And
okay, I'm done with him. But you get my point. He doesn't like Bill Cosby because not only does he not agree with the black establishment who's making this about race, but he hates the fact that Bill Cosby back in 2004 brought attention to the ails of the black community and said that black people needed to check themselves before they wrecked themselves. And he still got an animus about that. And he still got a chip on his shoulder about it. JC, what was your question?
I have a question for you. Hopefully we'll have enough time to just
got about 4 minutes.
Through it all. Okay. How strongly do you feel about the office of the presidency of the United States and respect for it?
I believe that the office of the president of the United States should be respected in full. And I do believe that we need to question those figures because we elect them and they work for us. But the presidency, the office of the presidency of the United States is an important one and it needs to be respected at all times. Now, I don't believe I've ever disrespected to the level of, you know, who gives a damn about, you know, the American government. I don't think I've ever said that. I've just said when they screw up, I call them on it.
Okay. Well, now I ask you your thoughts on Ted Nugent and his recent comments.
He said I'd either end up dead or in jail if Barack Obama's reelected.
Is that all that you know that he said?
What else did he say?
Well, he said it isn't. He said he's basically referring to Obama as the enemy. He said, it isn't the enemy that ruined America. Well, talking about the Democrats and Obama, period. He said it's the good people who bent over to let the enemy in. And if the coyote is in your living room pissing on your couch, it's not the coyote's fault, speaking about Obama. It's your fault for not shooting him.
Whoa. Okay, I didn't know he said all that. That's tough.
Yeah. He's not being investigated by the Secret Service, by the way.
He is being investigated by the Secret Service?
Secret Service looking into Ted Nugent's violent anti-Obama rant.
When did they find the time?
Good one, Jay. Good one.
We know they got the money because they didn't pay for that.
Exactly. James, I'll give you the last minute. Do you want to respond to Torre and the Bill Cosby thing?
Torre and the Bill Cosby thing, I think Torre is all wrong. I mean, because I don't know what communities he's been in, but it has been a badge of honor. And we've said this, I have said this, it's now a badge of honor to go to jail.
That's right. And Torre says that Bill Cosby is out of touch. And I believe the person who's out of touch is this, you know, this elitist. I mean, come on, this guy hangs out with the quote-unquote black intelligentsia who goes to, you know, in the Spagos and stuff like that and MSNBC. He's not, you know, roaming through the hoods, Torre. You know, and you know, this guy, Bill Cosby, has been heavily involved in the black community, always has been, always will be. I think this guy's got years and decades, if not a half a century, of knowledge about the black community, and I think he was well within his rights and within his judgment to call the black people out as he did in 2004. Tory just hates it. He hates the fact that Bill Cosby is more recognized than him, and the fact that people are going to look at Bill Cosby's comments and his rhetoric with merit. They're going to look at Bill Cosby with merit because they know that he's not a malicious flamethrower like guys like Tory. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I got three words for Tory. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Come on, man. Bill Cosby's an icon.
Using his amazing mental powers, the brown hornet escapes unharmed.
Makes me want jello pudding right now.
All right, we got to go, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. It's Reese on the radio, as usual, for JC, for Kool-Aid Man, and for Mary White, you're bugging it. Derek the Bounty Hunter, I'm Reese on the radio.
We'll see you tomorrow.